You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Ain't no place like a cowboy place, ain't no time like a cowboy time. Ain't no way like the cowboy way, have a cowboy kind of day, yeah.
Try the new Big Sky Burger at Roy Rogers. It's Smithfield pulled pork, beer-battered onion rings, American cheese, and spicy barbecue sauce on a Kaiser bun.
Have a cowboy kind of day at Roy's. Ain't no way you're going wrong, hey, yeah.
DoorDash and Uber Eats available at participating restaurants.
Some cars are comfy on the inside, but don't have power on the outside. And some cars have the horsepower, but none of the comfort. I used to think there weren't any cars that were the total package. But that all changed when I got my Honda SUV. It's rugged and sophisticated. And right now, Honda has deals on the entire Honda SUV lineup. CR-V, HR-V, Pilot, Passport, you name it. So if you're looking for a car that's the total package, the only place you'll find it is at your local Honda dealer. Hurry before they're all gone.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek, me Jamie Holm. After Liverpool have beaten RB Leipzig 2-0 to reach the last eight of the championship. As always, the Midweek Fix is brought to you by footballprizes.co.uk. And this week, the lads have another cracker. It's a signed and framed boot from none other than Trent Alexander-Arnold. The tickets are $4.95 to enter. There are 99 tickets available, and the draw closes next Wednesday at 7:30. So please do go get involved. Now, joining me tonight to give us their reaction on a brilliant performance by Liverpool is Gav Doyle and Young and Chris Brack. Gav, it feels good to be able to be doing a show like this after a Liverpool win, first and foremost, but a win with a little bit of a swagger back, I would say.
Yeah, look, we've had an awful time of late, but the Champions League is probably that one thing that we're holding on to for this season. You know, a lot of people feel that maybe top four is out of our reach now after results over the last, 2 months. But tonight, another 2-0 win against Leipzig, 4-0 on aggregate and into the quarters. And it's the one thing, Jamie, we have to hold on to and just go for. And there was a marked difference tonight, I thought, from start to finish. I thought he was brave and putting Fabinho in midfield as opposed to centre-back. But much, much, much better for me tonight.
Andy, I'll come to you because I think Gav makes the point about Fabinho starting in centre midfield. You know, when the team came through, you know, were there any surprises with you? How did you feel? Obviously, Fabinho going back into midfield and Jota getting his start up front in the absence of Bobby Firmino. Were you happy with the team going into the game?
Yeah, pleasantly surprised, actually. I think it's a theme. If we were all able to pick, we would have tonight. I think we've all been longing to see Fabinho back in the centre of the park, and it paid dividends tonight. I thought, like you said, it was a marked difference. It was a performance in midfield that we probably haven't seen in 3 months. But I know we've had a couple of good results there, away to Spurs and away to West Ham and Palace and all that. But I think that was more like us tonight, and it just shows the importance of having Fabinho in the midfield to be able to win the ball up high and pin the opposition back. I was delighted when I seen the team selection.
Jamie's on a delay here.
Maybe he's over in Hungary. Good evening from Budapest.
I think if Jamie can hear us, he's probably better off dropping out and reloading. I'll take over for a minute. Chris, the lineup, because, you know, Fabinho was suggested that he would be back. He would start, you know, following his appearance against Fulham at the weekend. And were you surprised that they went and they put him into midfield? There was a lot of call for it. There was a lot of rumour that it would happen. But as I said, when Jamie asked me, I thought it was brave to put him in there. I thought the more solid option was to put him at centre back.
Yeah, I must admit, I think we all wanted Fabinho in centre back, as we saw tonight. We see what balance he gives us. But I was concerned because the two lads who got centre back do lack a bit of pace, and the ball over the top has been a threat to them. But look, you can't complain. It worked, and it worked really well. That's probably the most balanced I've seen Liverpool be for quite some time, to be honest.
Yeah, and there was a balance, Andy, wasn't there? Because, you know, we've said loads about, you know, Fabinho coming into midfield makes a difference to not only Ronaldo, but in particular Thiago. You know, were you happy to see Fabinho in there?
There's a bit of a storm in good old Bray here, and my internet keeps dropping. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, well, look, we keep an eye on it. I'll ask this question, and then we can get back to you. Andy, you know, there was loads of calls from to go into midfield, but it would benefit so many players. But the biggest one tonight was probably Thiago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's hard to take that as your sample. It was definitely a lot more than what we expect from Thiago tonight. Maybe European football, you know, the Champions League suits him. He had a way bigger lot. I had to take a breather on the ball and do what he wanted, and hopefully that can translate into the Premier League as well. So it's hard to tell. Look, the signs are positive, but he was a lot better tonight and put in a good shift. And it was good to see him when he was on the bench. He'd ran his bollocks off. So, you know, all good.
Jamie, are you back?
I think he's frozen again.
Yeah, he is frozen again. We keep going. Chris, keeping with the lineup, you know, Firmino has a knee issue, and you see Jota come in and play in that front three, and again, it was something where you went, you know what, is it a sign of things to come? I don't know, but I really enjoyed Jota as well tonight. We missed chances, don't get me wrong. He was involved in some of them, but his direct running and his running off the ball, and every time he looks to penetrate defences. Again, it's a welcome addition to a team, isn't it? Because we've said it for weeks, we need Jota back, we need Fabinho midfield. We've said this loads, and we've seen a bit of that tonight, and it's come up trumps.
Yeah, it gives us what we haven't had, which is a bit of directness. We've probably been trying at times overthink things, which has been catched out. But it was giving us more on the attack, risk football. And Liverpool at the best play risk football. You know, the last 6 weeks, especially at home, it's been too safe, it's been too predictable, it's been very un-Liverpool like. Now, there are factors for that, but people know now to go out wide and going to whip across into lads who are all under 6 foot. For a lot of the teams we play, that's what we need. I do think we have to caveat it with it's only one result, it's a big result, and hopefully it's a start of things to come. But I'm sure we'll get into later. I do think Leipzig's lineup and tactics played into our hands and quite naive, I thought.
Andy, I thought that was always going to happen, though. That's what Leipzig are. You know, Ham52 has a super chat. He says, Phillips has 100% proved tonight how good he is. And we go through the side as we go along. But just in general, Andy.
I'm looking forward to talking about Phillips, actually.
Yeah, well, we'll absolutely get to him, because I think he was one of the standouts tonight. But, you know, that's what Leipzig are, Andy. We've seen it in the first leg. You know, although it's in the same stadium, it was literally two fucking neutral. It's two games in a neutral venue with away goals fucking counting on mad stuff. But that's what Leipzig are. They're open. They play attacking football. They press. They do all that sort of stuff. And people could say to you, oh, you know, it's made for Liverpool, but they still had to come through the game, didn't they?
Yeah. Like, look, it's, you said it there about Thiago. Like, you know, Leipzig let us have it our way tonight, because that's what we prefer as a team, to be a bit more open, and we can string our passes and create chances, and that's what we want teams to do. In the Premier League, it's a little bit different. Thiago gets hounded; it's not something he's used to, and things can get a little bit trickier for a bit messy. But tonight, yeah, they did play their hand. But then the credit for Liverpool, like, you're defending a 2-0 lead; it's an awkward one. But Liverpool were brave, and the way we kind of started out in the second half when it was a bit more sloppy, it was the way I expected the beginning of the game to go, because to be maybe trying to sit back and defend the lead a little bit. But no, Liverpool played their own game, and you can only play with teams in front of you, and took advantage of Leipzig's tactics, and can't ask for any more than that. I won't expect too many teams to come at us like that in the league. Of course, we know they won't, but still bright signs.
Absolutely. Jamie, are you back? No.
No. I'm not.
No, he keeps coming back and then he keeps disappearing. The best thing
try standing
to do is...
up.
Or open a window.
Put the laptop up in the air.
but look, going into this game, I think it's interesting, Chris, what Andy says, because you know Liverpool played their game, but for me, Freeball says nice to see Klopp smiling again, and yeah, it is, and we want to see them all smiling as much as we can. But Chris, Andy says there Liverpool played their game, and I thought, you know, as I said, we know what way Leipzig are going to do this. But I thought Liverpool looked like they had a plan tonight. They looked like they had a way of going about things. Like, if you look at the first half stats, Liverpool only have 40% of the ball. They've less passes than Leipzig, less passes in the opposition half, but they've more shots. They've more shots on target. There was a clear plan there to consolidate and hit them hard, because, like we said earlier, Leipzig will give you that chance. It's the first time in a while I've looked at Liverpool and goes, and thought, they definitely have a clear idea of what they want to do here in this game.
Yeah, they have. I mean, you know, for the criticism that some of our players get, how often have you seen Liverpool defensively go to a midfield five with Mane and Salah as basically, you know, wide midfielders? It's not something we do very often. But what we did tonight, which was really good, I thought, was we hit our weaknesses very well. And accentuates our positives. So, you know, with a Gini and a Fabinho in midfield, that does a lot of Thiago's running for him, which allows Thiago to go further forward and press. And he's not like trying to cover as much distance. And then we did hide the lack of pace for the two lads at centre back really well, but then let them do what they're good at, which is, you know, Phillips will head anything. You know, and as far as for Kabak, he was just quietly efficient. But we made sure they weren't exposed. It's just what balance gives you, really. You know, but hopefully we can continue with this, because it was it's nice to see, to be honest. It was that's probably the most relaxed I've been watching Liverpool in probably about 2 months.
Yeah, I was fairly relaxed about it as well, because, like I said, there was a clear plan, and Leipzig were more than willing to come and let us implement that plan, I suppose. Andy, we know how the game goes. I thought it was looking at it, I didn't think it was a nervous game. I thought there was a lot of it that was just a nothing game for me. You know, a lot of passing around. That's my opinion on it. But let's talk about some players. You know, I want to go through a couple of players from tonight, and of course goals and man of the match and stuff like that. Listen, Jamie's having awful issues with his internet. He said the roof is about to come off the house where he is at the moment. I know what he's talking about. The weather here about an hour ago was awful as well. So he's going to drop out because he doesn't want to just keep popping in and freezing and coming back out. So it's just the three of us for the duration. But and Red Steve says Jamie should knock off the porn downloads while he's streaming. Dirty Brenda is eating your bandwidth, so maybe that's a massive accusation you've made, but Jamie, stick with the story that there's a storm. But listen, no, in fairness, the weather has been horrific around this area, around Dublin and the surrounding areas, I suppose, in the last couple of hours. But Andy, a couple of players, and I'll start with Phillips, because you know, a lot's being made of Kabak. He's come in. We know the story with Kabak, 6 months or whatever it is. If we like it, it's 18 million. But Phillips, of course, we all know the story. Nearly Stuttgart's second team, nearly sold, stays in the end, and he's getting more and more game time. But again, tonight, Andy, I thought anything he was asked to do, in fairness to the fella, he done it.
Yeah. I was very annoyed on Monday on the forum, and what winds me up a lot more than anything, Chris, is when when people are bullying Chris. When I accept if the team aren't playing well, you know, and like they're trying their best and they're not scoring goals or they're leaking goals stupidly. You know, these things happen in football. We're all watching football long enough to know that these things happen. Teams have a dip in form, but what I don't accept is when players aren't putting it in for the short. You know, it's the minimum requirement. to play for Liverpool. It's not the type of club you just come in and be a journeyman and take your wages. The fans don't accept it. And you can be guaranteed if the ground was full for the last few weeks when we've seen the way we were against Everton and Chelsea and all, we'd be absolutely raging. And that pisses me off. But there you have Phillips there, who was putting it in for the badge. He's shockingly underappreciated since he's come in. He's so fucking reliable. And it just seems that people can't get their head around accepting that he's a good player because they just don't like him stylistically. Well, I don't know. He's doing a job, and he's doing the job excellently. I wouldn't sell him. I wouldn't let him go. I'd keep him now. I think he's more than proved himself to be a backup defender for us. It's the same way when Kelleher comes into the team, you can rely on him now. We have a goalkeeper, we can rely on him. And now we have a centre-back. Should we have another bit of a crisis at the back, that Phillips can come in. And as well, he can play against certain teams that you know he has the strengths to play against because he's absolutely fabulous in the air. And he's a hell of a lot of a better footballer than people are giving him credit for at the moment. He's done well, and I think he's fully deserved of his place, and I'm delighted for that performance he gave tonight. You know what I mean? It seems like people don't think he's able to meet this level, but he's played at the top level in Germany, and now he's played in a knockout stage of Champions League, getting us into the quarters, and he's been probably the man of the match. And it's about fucking time Liverpool fans start looking at players like him and being grateful for the efforts that they put in and the ability and the what they do for the short when we have this habit of falling in love with this potential of players that haven't done fucking anything for us and that don't put it in for the short. So Phillips, good man, I'm delighted. Man of the match.
Oh, well, I'm not even at a man of the match stage, but fair enough, Andy.
At Capella University, you're in control of your education. With the game-changing FlexPath format, you can set your own deadlines and move at your own pace. The faster you move, the more you save. Visit capella.edu to learn more.
I agree. I think he's come in. I think he's done absolutely fine. I think when him or Kabak or Reece Williams or whatever have been exposed is when further up the pitch, we're playing high and we're not pressing. And the one thing he does lack for me is a bit of pace. You know, people will go on about is, and I'm not overhyping him here because I think he's been asked to do a certain job and he's done it. But people will say, well, he's how good is his passing? Well, look, when I watch Gomez and Van Dijk play, you'll see Van Dijk hit amazing passes. But Gomez usually keeps it simple into a fella in midfield, out to a fullback. He's not a fella to hit long raking passes. Now, I'm not saying he's anywhere near Joe Gomez's level, all things being equal. But what I'm saying is, as one centre half, to be somebody like that, that's solid, good in the air, just keeps it simple, he's no issue. I don't know if he'll be kept on. I don't know if he'll end up fourth choice. But I think Kevin Sullivan said earlier he'll definitely get if he doesn't stay with Liverpool, he'll get a really, really good move out of it because I think he's a really good defender. Like I see some centre halves in the Premier League and they can't head it. They can't kick it. They can't pass it. They can't mark men, you know, and he does all that. Absolutely no issues. I thought he was really, really good. Chris, we've kind of covered Phillips a little bit there, but the man beside him, Kabak, I thought he looked, I'm not going to say a different player to the one we've seen so far, but I thought he looked confident as well. I thought he looked a lot more at ease at what he was doing. I know I don't know whether that's Fabinho midfield helping and talking or whatever it is, but he looked a lot more at ease for me as well.
He was just quietly efficient. The big criticism of him has always been a ball over the top he gets caught out for, and actually he wasn't doing that. And probably the one time Phillips missed a header, which I think was the only time he ever missed a header today, he was actually covering his man and getting in front of him, which I thought that's what he hasn't been doing. He hasn't been reading the danger, and he probably cut out a bit of the ball watching. I think it helps, like you said, I think the structure next to it, I think having Robertson getting more to his best and having that pivot in front of him of a Genie and a Fabinho, it does protect you a lot. And you can definitely see in the game, someone like a Robson is talking him through the game. I can't complain about it. I said both of them just did what they needed to do. I do feel if we were doing the Leipzig podcast, I think they picked the two worst strikers to play against them because Solaf and Poulsen, two big lads who like to hold it up and, you know, be direct, to a Phillips and a Cap and Cabback less so, that's ideal. That's what they want. What they'd have been better doing would have been starting someone like the Cliverts and people of that ilk who are more tricky, more pacey, because that's the big weakness of their games.
A bit more direct,
The one thing Phillips and Cabback don't want to do is be brought out wide. And in the games we've lost recently, that's where they've been caught out, you know. And that's people don't like it with Phillips. He hasn't got the pace. He hasn't got it. So that's what it is. My feelings on Phillips has always been we haven't adapted to that situation. We've still been playing high lines and thinking he's like Van Dijk and going to run back over someone, which today we didn't do that. So look, I think both centre halves, they just did what they needed to do. They got big blocks. I think Quebec got quite a big block in that 2-0. Where you just get yourself in the way. It's not pretty, but do you know what? That's what we've needed for the last 6 weeks. Is not the pretty stuff. Just get yourself in the way, and get it cleared to our midfield, and let the midfield attack do what they need to do.
Yeah, staying with you though, Chris, and moving into midfield. You know, as I said at the start of the show, Fabinho midfield. I thought it was a brave move. I will say that. There was loads of calls for him to come into midfield, but I thought Klopp might just go and say, you know what, I'm just going to stick Fabinho back in there for this one to get us to make sure, and then we move on from there, or maybe even do it in Wolves, isn't it, on Monday, and then we've an international break, so maybe do it then and then have a look. But he didn't. He puts Fabinho into midfield, and Chris, I have to say, like, he's been very good at centre half, don't get me wrong, but my God, if there's ever an argument put to me where you prefer to have Fabinho at centre half instead of midfield for under any circumstance, that tonight shows why he is, for me, one of the best defensive midfielders in world football. What he brings to the position, what he brings is stability, and what he lets other people go and do as part of that, I thought outstanding he was.
Effortless, wasn't it? Absolutely effortless. He's just a joy to watch, and we've lost that Van Dijk diagonal, but he gives us a very good vertical pass through in the middle, which, to be honest, the other guys, it's not their game. That's not what they do. So he gives us something a bit different. And I think he just gives the other players around him the confidence. Well, I can bomb on a bit now. I can press higher because they all know he'll do the job. Gini's done well at number six, but he hasn't got the mobility or the positional sense of a Fabinho. And that's just what he is, you know. So, yeah, I agree with you. I was surprised he started to set centre mid, because I just assumed he'd go a bit, Klopp would go a bit safer. But again, maybe this is a bit of a change in Klopp. He's gone back to, I've got to take more risks now because they're playing safe and hoping someone will fill in. Well, we're eighth in the league now, so it hasn't worked. So we may as well just go strongest midfield, strongest attack, and we make do with what we have and go from there.
Yeah. Master Disaster says the whole team just looked more comfortable and confident with Fabinho there in midfield. Andy, I think that's a great point. And I also think that, is it just a case of, you know, square pegs or round pegs and round holes? Because when you look at it, that today you had two fullbacks, two centre backs, three midfielders, three forwards who all played in positions. That's their position. Yeah. And it doesn't matter what personnel it is, or it doesn't matter, you know, how experienced or inexperienced you are. People in their positions, and it just makes a huge difference.
Yeah, 100%. It's no big shocker that when you play players in their right positions that you get a better outcome or a better output. And we said at the start of the show, absolutely crying out to see Fabinho back in there. Like, we're crying out to see Fabinho, Wijnaldum and Henderson in there, because I think they're just such enablers for how we prefer to play. Like, even the fullbacks were a lot better. They were a lot more themselves, Robbo and Trent. They were able to play their roles a lot better because we were able to peg them back a little bit more, and that Robbo and Trent were able to stay a bit more forward and get involved, get more touches on the ball. Fabinho has made that role his own. He's not a, you know, a defensive screen as such. You know, when Ronaldo plays the six, or when Henderson plays the six, they kind of sit that bit deeper up front, and it can bring teams on a little bit. Whereas Fabinho's just so proactive. He wins those balls. Like, for a defensive midfielder to win so many balls up so high, and as we the strength of this team is that we're quick on transition, and that he can get the ball out of his feet and just clip one over the top. It just makes such a massive difference. We're very reliant on certain players, and we're certainly reliant on a more familiar midfield to for this team to progress.
Yeah, Jamie's back. He's moved to his conservatory and stuck a beanie hat on, but he's back. Look at him. Look at him there. Of course not. It's Grizz. Grizz has joined us. I sent out an SOS there, and Grizz has answered the call.
Hadn't got time to do us here.
No, and I hope them.
You know, it's good.
I hope them big six bold fellas don't turn up again, and he's all getting upset.
Listen, Andy's here. Don't worry about them. Andy's here.
Tell you, he was like a doorman, wasn't he? From the 1990s, he was. That's what he was like. But free world
swinging him out the door there.
free world. Mass, still no cans, Gav. No, someone asked me before that. I think it might have been.
Tell him you stopped ages.
Yeah, nearly six weeks. David Snutch says 112 likes and 384 watches.
Embarrassing. Hit the
like button. I'm only to point that up because Grizz turned up because he gets really upset. Ramiz with a super chat says, this is our best 11 of the available players, and I'd like to see a bit more of it. Fabinho's presence improved. Thiago, how does Salah have 30 goal involvement? Grizz, we were just saying, and on Ramiz's point, you know, square pegs, square holes, players that play in the position, playing in those positions. And we're on to Fabinho. I'm going to give you a word on Fabinho. I don't think I'll let it pass and just move on to the next one without you having a little word on Fabinho, because we all think he was deadly.
I gave all central midfielders a 10, but I gave him a 10 star.
Where did you give them a 10?
In my official Grizz match rating.
He's still in the echo.
What do you gather the kids in the sitting room after the game and read them out?
No, I just tweet them.
Oh, do you? Where?
Well, sometimes. But I've done it today.
Lying cunt.
But listen, but the point about Fabinho, right? Yeah. And it's very poignant. It's very poignant that Fabinho came back and made everything look safe, and you just felt protected. Because today I had my vaccine done, as you guys know, right? Because I sent lovely pictures.
The whole world
knows.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Right. So I feel.
How did you? Sorry, just to stop a minute. How did you end up with a vaccine before loads of people?
These kind of things are not discussed. These kind of things are not discussed live on air. This is personal.
Yeah, they are.
Is it? If you
connections, Gav. Connections, Gav.
I was just thinking.
Is it type 1 or type 2 diabetes? You have.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
I tell you what.
That's a right go. He's had a right go there.
He's a right go there.
But come here. No, is it, you know, like when you, did you write them a letter saying, listen, are you lads, are you
there's me eating cake. Fucking hell. Yeah, go on.
Did you write to them and say, listen, lads, I used to be on the keto diet? And they just said, oh, we'll get him in and get them done. Free World reckons because it's over 60.
That's the one.
Okay, good. Listen, so anyway, your vaccine, all that, go on, Fabinho.
Yeah, because like, you've had the vaccine, and once you've had the vaccine, it protects you, right? It's supposed to protect you and you feel safe. And that's what Fabinho is.
Which
Fabinho,
one did you get?
Fabinho's the vaccine. I got the one that does the Viagra, not that one, the other one.
The Johnson & Johnson, the bubble battle.
No, the ZA or something.
AstraZeneca.
ZA. AstraZeneca.
Yeah, AZ, same thing.
Oh, well, you see, Andy's going to tell you it's the tenement one, ain't you, Andy? tell him.
Which is the notion?
Oh, it's a good one. Oh, well, then you're in. You're sorted.
I've got the good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You might start to feel a little bit dodgy tonight, though.
Right.
Okay.
That'll be the platter for six. That won't be anything to do with the vaccine. yeah. Red Steve says kebab shop Gav, essential worker Garrett Reutemann. He dusts chicken.
Key worker.
Kebabs. He dusts chicken. Go on, sorry, Fabinho. We digressed.
I've tried to make a point, but you lot have fucking torn it to bits. But I'll try to end it. Basically, look, all I'm trying to say is like sort of when you have that vaccine. And it sort of protects you from all these viruses. That's exactly what Fabinho does on that pitch. He protects you from. Suddenly his fellow midfielders felt so much more comfortable. Seemed like they were getting hold of the ball when there's space and time because he was winning it so early. The defenders, look at the centre backs. Fucking hell, he was magnificent. I'm sure you've covered it. I just thank you for giving me a chance to talk about it and comparing him to my vaccine. What did you give him? 10 star. He's the only one who got 10 star.
What are you eating?
Cake. Celebrating. Come on, man. We haven't, listen.
Why are you celebrating the vaccine?
Because he had his he's having a vaccine party.
We haven't won in fucking years.
He got had a vaccine.
He's 40, he's 40 people in the sitting room telling him to keep quiet.
I got a vaccine there today. I'm going to have a party.
Big cake. Yeah.
Big cake.
Came home. Shazza had a big cake. Congrats on your vaccine.
A big cup of minerals as well with it to wash it down. A
big cup of minerals. Milk.
Always milk.
Oh my God.
You know me, Andy.
Milk. Yeah. Milk. Usually in a square glass. I think all the Duffies in the chat have decided to take over the day trippers, but it looks like I could be making it up, but there's loads of Duffies in there and they're all talking about being day trippers. So let me know if you're taking over, because I could do it a week off, to be perfectly honest with you. But lads, look, the midfield, Andy, I'll come to you. We've spoken about Fabinho. You see his impact. He just covers so much ground. He sees so much stuff early. He uses it well. But when you look down what it does to the other two lads, and in particular for me, Thiago. Thiago's not doing doggies all over the place. He's not looking around him, looking at the track runners everywhere. He's walking, don't get me wrong, but it just frees him up to do what he's there to do. It made such a difference, Andy.
Yeah. Yeah, as I said earlier, he got a lot more breathing space than he gets in the Premier League. Like, I don't want to get too carried away. Yeah, it's just probably his best performance in terms of like the overall game. You know, like he showed flashes, of course, his passing range and everything else. But it was just a more complete performance, and he really put it in. And I'm afraid to get carried away on Thiago, because I know he can be unbelievable for us, but that's a serious green shoot that we're seeing tonight that hopefully he can carry on. I think maybe the Champions League.
Is it time for a new heating and cooling system? Turn to the experts at Griffith Energy Services and Carrier today and get 0% financing for 18 months on a new heating and cooling system. Get the comfort you deserve from Griffith Energy Services and Carrier. Visit griffithenergyservices.com today for this and other exclusive offers. That's griffithenergyservices.com. License number MDHVACR01-2278.
Griffith Energy Services. Doggone dependable.
Will suit them a bit better, that the space is there, the kind of helm that you get in the Premier League. Like it can be a bit more difficult for a player for his style, but he got to play a little bit of a freer role as well with Fabinho in there. So look, all the positives you can take from it, well, happy.
I was delighted with it, I have to say. I don't want to go over the top about it either, Andy, but it was just, they look like they did something about them. There's something a bit more about them with Fabinho. And I'm not saying Fabinho makes Thiago a much better player or Wijnaldum a much better player, but someone, as loads of people said in the chat earlier, the balance. And when the balance is there, it just, instead of players looking hesitant and, you know, even when they're going forward, they're having to look around. Am I okay to go? Do I sit? When you have that balance, it just makes such a difference. They're not only the midfielders, but your fullbacks and your front three who can know they can go and they have that cover. I just thought it was a marked difference. Stephen Max wants me to go over the top about it. I'm not going to, because I thought it was a good performance, but I thought the signs in it were just so much better than what we've seen over the last couple of weeks. Chris, moving into the front three, you know, there's been a lot made.
Didn't talk about Wijnaldum.
Oh, do you want to talk about Wijnaldum? Chris, talk to me about Wijnaldum.
He was dead good. he just looked like he had support around him. So because he got support around him, he can do what Wijnaldum does, which is hold it, clever turns, and he could do his passing range, which is much better than people give him credit for. His attacking passing range is really good. But at the moment, because he's playing where he has been playing as a six, he's out running to the ground. He's playing safe too much, which, to be honest, isn't his game. So he just looked a bit more confident, as we've already said with Thiago, because, I mean, let's be fair to Thiago, let's go back for a second. He's not trying that overhead kick that he did 2-3 weeks ago. You know, that's a sign that he feels comfortable with some of the passing ranges he was doing. And Genie's the same. You know, we're back to Genie doing his Kenny Dalglish impression of sticking his arse out, holding the ball and spinning two players, you know, and doing that, which he hasn't done for ages, just breaks it up, and it opens it up for the front three then to do some damage. I mean, we'll get onto front three in a minute because it was like it was the best and the comical worst. I mean, we can laugh now because we won, but honestly, God, some of the misses were on a blooper reel, and I couldn't. It did make me smirk most of it.
Stefan Mack wants to know, are we going to talk about Trent? We will in a little bit. David Lennon says balance and cohesion. And I think he, but in fairness, David Lennon was the one that put up about the balance earlier on as well.
We might as well give them all ratings. We might as well give them all ratings.
Kieran Thorne, that doesn't Kieran Thorne, that isn't usually a messer. He says, breaking news, Gino Wijnaldum has agreed to a new 3-year contract.
Give over. I don't believe that. Is he?
Well, Kieran Thorne's not a messer. Well, he's not a messer. So, Kieran, unless you are messing, come in and tell us where you heard that.
Let me just make a couple of calls.
Go on, Chris. Make a couple of texts.
And carry on.
Yeah. Wipe the cake off your fingers before you.
You know, you should know by then. I didn't realise, it was just said in commentary that apparently he said during the week that he hopes he doesn't have to leave Liverpool. Mm.
It was said in the press conference.
Yeah, he said he'd be devastated to leave. So, you know,
so that would suggest that he's doing everything he can to try and stay.
Mm.
I have to say, like, and you know me with the owners and everything else, I'd be very, very, very disappointed in anybody that plays a part in preventing Gini Wijnaldum staying at Liverpool. We won't get another player to do what he does. We won't. And he's got years left in him. Like, he's not falling off a single bit. He's getting better every season. And as Chris was saying, the way he's able to just fucking stick his arse out and spin players. And he seems to be just everywhere when you need him. And it goes terribly unnoticed. And it's only in recent times that people have really started to appreciate the job he does. And I think if we're to carry on and get ourselves back to where we were last season, we need Gini Wijnaldum on our team. I hope he doesn't go. We just won't be able to replace the type of job he does. We'll have to come up with something totally different. He's so good.
I think he's excellent, and I think too much is made of his age. And there is a lot of
He's only 29.
I know, but there's a lot of miles in his legs. I will say that. But, and I always come back to this: if you have, for that three spaces, if you have 6 or 7 players and are reliable and available, it's easy to pull 2 or 3 players in the 30s through that. Absolutely easy. Because you will average in a good season 60 games. Okay? Probably about 60 games, right? If you were to do anyway decent in the League Cup and the FA Cup and go far in the Champions League. It's about 60 games, right? All of them can get so many games and be so happy. None of this, if he doesn't play every week, he won't be happy. That's bullshit. If you have Henderson, Fabinho, Wijnaldum, Thiago, Jones, Keita, and you add one more, or Milner stays or whatever, you can easily take a couple of them through, no problem. And you won't have to discuss about how many miles they have in them, because some players just keep going and going and going. I think Genie's been overused this year, but I really hope, as I said, Kieran's not usually a messer, but I'd really like to see if that was true. Stephen O'Connor says he's a someone's took her off the fucking.
Sorry, that was me, Gav, because I liked that comment.
Massive disaster.
Like the dignity and respect that Ginny's shown every year, and that's what I think is so important about Liverpool finding the right players to be part of the long term project. Dignity and respect. It's everything that a Liverpool player needs to have. They're so important, qualities. And Jesus, I just can't stress enough. I just hope they find a way for them to stay.
Yeah, I'm with you, but I'm not with you if you're saying give him what, if you're one of the fellas that says give him what he wants. I'm not with that. But I agree with you. We've got to find a way to get him to stay.
We can't have that discussion without knowing what he actually wants. If what he wants is totally unrealistic, then okay, you can't do that. You can't provide that. But if rumors are to be true, and it looks like he's on a hell of a lot less than other players that are in the first
rumored amount, he's on is 70 grand a week. Yeah. That's the rumored amount. And people will compare a lot to Shaqiri, who's on 100+, I think.
With the player, you wouldn't mind if a player had, bonuses. He doesn't have a huge amount of things that he can earn extra on.
I get that, Andy. It's been a disaster. His wages, not a disaster, But we've been tight with his wages, and 70 grand is awful. And you're right; it's probably not on the contract with the bonuses.
I just want to ask you this, so and then you can finish. Am I right in thinking he's only ever signed one contract at Liverpool?
Yeah,
still his first one.
This is his first contract.
Okay. Right. Okay.
And so, but the thing is, he's been absolutely amazing, and the dignity and the respect and how he's handled himself, when knowing that he's fucking doing the double the work of some players that are just injured all the time or whatever, and getting on a par with him or more. But it's as harsh as it may sound, that's not FSG's problem now. Yeah, that's his and agent. Him and his agent have messed up. They should have gone to the club with 2 years left or 3 years left or whatever, you know, or where we won the league or where we won the European Cup, and said, look, we want a new contract, up to date contract. So, yeah. It's awful what's happened to him in terms of 70 grand compared to everyone else who's on. Every Tom, Dick and Harry is on 100. I don't think they can take that into consideration now. They shouldn't. That's not how business works. Just because you've not been underpaid for 5 years, not underpaid, but sort of haven't had a rise, you can't just suddenly get a back rise, if you know what I mean, for the last 5 years. And you still got to be reasonable with your new contract. So I think that's a sticky thing. But I agree with you. We have to try to and do what we can.
Well, I think if Genie's on 70 grand a week and he's like, people are saying give him what he wants. Like, if he's looking to double his money, 100, I think 140 is too much. I will say that. But if Genie Wijnaldum comes in and says, I want, you know, they say, if you tell me tomorrow you signed a 3-year deal or 120 grand a week, I'm fine with that. I'm absolutely fine with that. Because 120 grand isn't what it used to be. Do you know what I mean? It's not. It simply isn't. It's just
every one of that forced 11, Gav. Well, when I say forced 11, we've probably like 14 forced 11 players, you know, they battle it out. Should be on north of 100 grand, basic.
Yeah, it's just because it's his forced contract, you know. Like, Super Tiger says, imagine signing a relegated player from Newcastle now on 70 grand a week. That was a huge contract at the time, and that's a fair point. He just hasn't been renewed. 120, Kevin Ball says 120 grand is fair if true. I think so. I think that's about right.
I think it's the length of the contract. That's the
I
reckon he wants 4 years and they've said we'll give you two or three. I mean, playing devil's advocate, if he wants 4 years and you offered him, you can sell him later on with 2 years to go. You could just sell him, you know, and people, even at 32, people would want Genie Wijnaldum. You wouldn't get the same money. So, we can always do that. I know we have trouble to shift players in the past, but we're not talking about someone who's fell off a cliff like some of the other lads. You know, there is part of me that thinks a little bit, given the contract level or compromise on three with a 1 year option.
Yeah, but you'll probably see if he wants four and they want three, you'll probably see something like, we'll give you three, but it's air option to extend to a fourth. Yeah. That's what you'll probably see, something along those lines. But look,
so,
we don't know.
So you know where, Gav?
Yeah,
you know when people talk about FSG breaking their structure, like we talked about it on Monday, that like people were saying they should, you and others, they should go out and take out a big loan from the bank. You know what I mean? Like these are tall orders, you know, for a structure. This is a team that these are owners who are trying to create a sustainable future for the club, that it's self-sufficient and it keeps growing and growing and it becomes more and more competitive in the transfer market. They're not going to take out a big loan. But talking about breaking structures, a very, very small ask would be to break a small structure, like something that you don't maybe normally offer a 29-year-old a 4-year contract. I mean, I don't see what, that's a very small ask for owners to break their structure like that.
What age is Thiago?
I just think there you have it. You know, there's Thiago, comes in. He's about 9 months younger than Wijnaldum.
So there you go.
We're not asking for something out of the norm. Like, they certainly won't go out and borrow 170 million or something like Spurs did, and go and buy players and pretend it wasn't for players. They won't do that. But what they should be doing is, and you were saying, think outside the box. I don't know what way you phrased it, but sometimes you have to be a bit more pragmatic, or just make special exemptions for certain players, because you won't be able to replace what Jenny does.
Before you go on, you're saying about, I did say that, think outside the box, right? And what I meant by that was, is because for me, FSG are in a very specific box, and they have a very specific model. Now, they have stepped away from that at times with Thiago and possibly with doing this on Wijnaldum. Okay, they've kept Milner on. He's 35 years of age. He's got two contracts in the last 4 years, I think, James Milner.
Well, let's assume we all know what this model is.
Well, yeah, we do know what the model is. The model is that they get all their money and they invest and it's self-sufficient because they invest it all back into the club. There's no issue there. There's no argument there. I'm not saying FSG take money and run away, but they don't. Every penny they get, they put back into the club, which in turn makes the club self-sufficient. Yeah. What my point about it is that can that work this summer? Because, like you said the other day on the forum, they're probably down 100 to 200 million quid in match day revenue and TV revenue in the last year. Mm. So the amount of money coming in, if you pour that back in, right, the reduced amount back in, is it enough to compete and get what you need this summer? My argument is no. So you have to step away from that. In order to compete, for me, you have to step away from that model or that outlook or that strategy this summer. Will they do it? Yes or no? That's my only question. I'm not here to argue the past about FSG, what they've done, because I don't think there's much argument. Yeah. Bar, you know, you can bring up 77 quid tickets and you can bring up Forlow and stuff. But other than that, they do power back in what they get. All I'm saying is, you know, if I spend a tenner for my lunch every week or every day, and then all of a sudden the stuff goes up to 12, do I just go in and ask for 10? Or do I fucking try make something to make
it? I think what's happened with FSG is, if you look at how they owe a huge amount, there's a huge amount outstanding on transfers, probably more than any other club there. There was something went up during the week, because the way they spread out the structure of deals and the way they spread out their future costs, they've been caught short-sighted because of the pandemic. They've an overcommitment into the next 3 or 4 seasons that they didn't expect to happen. They looked at it, they could forecast an income of, you know, 100 million on a short deal, or, you know, 150 million a season on match day revenue, or 150 million a year on TV, and all of that's being chopped. So they have a huge commitment for things over the next season, which was they couldn't forecast without being able to factor in the norm of football income. And come the July or August, the UK is going back to pretty much normal, and you'll probably start to see full grounds before the end of this year. And that's when I think they can jump back onto the trajectory they're on, start forecasting again and start committing to spend money. I've no doubt in my mind that there was money coming in to spend on players, but a lot of things had to take place first to create that sustainable club. And things like the training ground, the extra capacity in Anfield, and the commitment they've made on player contracts as well, because our wage bill was bigger than any club's last year. So these are kind of commitments they made without the unexpected thing of a pandemic. And that, look, anyway, it's boring as fuck talking about them all the time.
Yeah, we're only going to see in the summer, and hopefully, like you said, if they look at this 29/30-year-old and decide, look, 3 years is fine. He's been brilliant for me this season.
And that's all I'm saying is if there's an exception to be made, it should be on him.
Yeah, and maybe that's a bit of flexibility that you look for. Yeah. Chris, Tahir Qureshi, have I got that right, Chris?
Beautiful.
Hey, thanks, man. I'm glad every player was back in position. It made a massive difference. Can we have?
Are you still mixing station gas and oil for your string trimmer, leaf blower, or chainsaw? Eliminate the mess and the guesswork with TruFuel, the original pre-mixed two-cycle fuel. TruFuel is ethanol-free and precision-engineered for small engines, improving performance and extending the life of your outdoor power equipment. And TruFuel is available for both 2- and 4-cycle engines. Empower your equipment with TruFuel. Available at your local home and garden center today.
The same performance every game, but start scoring goals. That's a nice little segue into the front three, Grizz, because, you know, Chris said it earlier, some of it went from the sublime to the ridiculous at times. But for me, Grizz, you miss chances. That's absolutely fine. You miss chances. That happens. But you've won the game 2-0, so you can kind of laugh about those chances. But for me, again, tonight, Grizz, there was... Maybe it was the fullbacks being a bit more confident. Maybe it was the midfield being a bit more progressive. The front three being a bit more confident. Yeah, we missed chances, but we looked so much more dangerous for me, Grizz. It wasn't one dimensional. It wasn't slinging crosses in boxes. It looked way more progressive for me.
That's what it does, isn't it? We spoke about, or I think you spoke about before, like sort of players knowing naturally what to do because they were in their natural positions. There didn't seem to be any hesitation in certain moves, hesitation in certain part in runs. And that's the effect it has. But it's not as easy as that because, you know, Klopp alluded to it before as well. He goes, it's not a matter of choice that I'm not playing Fabinho at, you know, in central midfield and I'm not playing, you know, X, Y, Z. It's because of necessity and the emergencies that we've had. You know, bless him, he's had to sort of do what he can do. And that's why I thought the front three looked lively, but I think it's just a continuation of the confidence that they take, you know, they were going into this game. And some of those chances, they'd score with their eyes closed on a normal day. We had to start laughing at some of those misses. I mean, the Jota one, lads, did you see the Jota one where it falls to him and he's got quarter of the goal to aim at? And, you know, we know Jota scores that, you know, 100 times out of 99 times out of 100. And that's the one time he misses. So, But I saw glimpses. I did see glimpses of sort of the movement and the interplay between the lads themselves as opposed to individual brilliance. So they're lacking the individual brilliance, but the team play is coming back slowly but surely, which is hopefully a confidence thing and nothing better than sort of reaching the Champions League quarterfinals, man, to yeah. build on.
The money one was funnier though. What are you trying?
Which one?
Where he managed to head it behind himself, which was just
Andy made a comment in our WhatsApp that I can't repeat, but it was, you know, it made me laugh.
I had to laugh because he's like that's just how it's going, isn't it?
Unbelievable.
Let's get to the goals though. Let's talk about them. Yeah. And you know, Salah makes a 1-0 around 70, 71 minutes. And I have to say, it's really composed. He doesn't rush. He takes his time. He makes his space and he puts it away. But Grizz, I have to give Jota massive credit. It's a brilliant assist.
Oh, the whole move. That was sort of, you know, I said our best, isn't it? That's our best sort of ground, our counter-attack, top speed, confidence in our passing. Normally we've been sort of overhitting passes or underhitting passes and then just sort of breaking down. But everything was one touch, the crispness of the pass, and suddenly it opened up for us. And then, you know, again, usually Salah, when he's coming in on that left foot, cutting in, you know, the least you expect him to do is hit the target. He found the corner. But yeah, Jota throughout the night, his work rate and movement, you couldn't tell that he's been out for, what, 3-4 months? His fitness levels were insane to keep going that long. And you know, I'm just waiting for Mane to wake up, Gav. He's got to wake up before this. You know, Mane could be a wild card for us, if you know. And that sounds so weird because he's been such a hero for us the last 2-3 years. But he still looks short of confidence. I know he scored today, and which will hopefully be the start. But if Mane can just become Mane again, right, as opposed to, you know, George Weah's cousin, right, the one who's never played football before, right, if he can become Armani again,
is that the fellow that Souness signed at Southampton?
Yeah, what was his name?
Deadly.
So brought him on, took him off 20 minutes later.
Yeah, yeah, he really.
What was his name?
Oh, someone will have it any second in the chat.
Oh,
but look, if Mane catches 80% of his usual self, then he could be our wild card and we could have a very, very positive and good ending to this fucking mad season.
But so, Ramez says, I think for large portions of the game, we relinquished possession, pressed better, and counterattacked. We almost seemed like we reverted to 17-18 style. That's what I think happened. I think we came out with a clear plan to do that, and it absolutely worked. Kieran Thorne says, Indy Coyle is breaking news about Harvey Barnes. Is this to Liverpool? But like I say, Kieran trusts what he's being told about, what's the fella's name?
Gino Wijnaldum.
George Weah's cousin. What was his name? Ali Dyer.
He's getting a ban. He's missing.
Is it Ali Dyer? Was that the fella's name?
Yeah, Ali Dyer. That was his name.
Downtown Abbey says there. And somebody asked Grizz, I did ask if there's any random questions you want to throw in. And somebody did say, Grizz, oh yeah, ask Grizz, India or Manchester United?
That's a tough one there, isn't it? Whoever's asked that is a clever little...
Wakefield Cars.
Okay.
Do you hate India?
No, but what does that mean? I don't know what that means.
I don't know. Well, they'd be your rivals.
They could be more, hate more, rivals.
Well, in the cricket world, India would be our biggest rival. In the football world, United would be a bigger rival. So if you choose which one you prefer, which would you choose, India or Manchester United?
Prefer as rivals? That doesn't make sense.
If you had to wear one of their jerseys.
Woo. Woo.
It's not a fluid answer. Come on.
It's not a fluid answer. It is a fluid answer.
It's not.
Jesus God. I'll wear the Indian jersey because my ancestors sort of obviously started, were born in India. So I'll go with that one in their memory.
Good stuff. Okay. Nice one.
Never been Manchester.
You're not missing much.
But look, the first goal was really good. I liked it. I loved the assist, but I really liked how calm Salah was about it. Andy, to you, the second one, Divock Origi runs fast, in a massive shock. He runs fast and whips a brilliant ball into the back post for Mane to put away, and it seals the game. And do you know what, Andy? I love the goal. I love the goal. I love to see Mane scoring. I think as much as Thiago's been having to trudge around the bleeding place and do all sorts of stuff during this period, I think Mane's had to do the same, and I think that's affected him as well. And hopefully, like Riz says, he just comes back to himself and is allowed to play his natural game. Was that it then? Were you just, lovely, 2-0, 4-0 win, happy days, and a big players getting goals?
As you recall, before the game, and everybody was predicting all sorts of scrappy losses and all, I did say it was going to be 2-0, so it was no shock to me when we scored that second goal, because I did see it happen from the start.
Bernie, and we said Sokes.
And I said loads of things that came true as well. So it was a good goal. It's a lift for Origi to come on and have an impact, for Mane to get his goal at home. he's been looking for for a while. The ball was fantastic. You know, it was like a strike on goal. With the
it probably was a strike on goal.
Yeah, who was it against? who was he went kind of one on one with a couple of months back, and that's all he had to do.
Burnley.
Yeah, that's all he had to do.
And he tried to break the bar.
He tried to break the bar. He could have just passed it into the net, which it was a great ball in. It looked close for a second. I thought it might have been reeled offside. But good goal. Delighted. And when you're watching the game, and while I've started to watch the game while I'm in WhatsApp lately, because just that's how things are with Liverpool. You're not sitting there engrossed in the games at the moment, because it's a tough watch. So being a WhatsApp a good bit, and when you're seeing all the fume because Origi was coming on, and then like he just shuts everyone up. I just love that. That's what I love most about when players prove people wrong. And so delighted.
Happy days. Shashank Mahotra.
Yeah. Mahotra, yeah.
Yeah, he says, to be fair to Grizz, as an Indian and a Liverpool fan, I would happily wear Wasim Akram jersey over any Manchester United jersey. And Kev O'Sullivan said, I think he made some sort of cricket reference. He said Grizz was like, Grizz was dodging a fast bowler there with that answer. So, maybe, I don't know. I think he answered it quite well.
Yeah,
man of the match, lads. Chris, I'll come to you first.
Fabinho.
Easy.
Brings the balance that we needed.
Good stuff. Andy, man of the match?
Phillips.
Yeah, okay. One for Phillips.
He wasn't really Phillips, but I was just giving it to him because
Andy
was so happy.
The underdog,
He got it on the LFC website.
Yeah.
Okay. Grizz, man of the match?
Okay. Fabinho with an honourable mention for Gini again.
Okay. Next round,
I think
quarterfinals. Yeah. Who do we want? Who do we not want? Who do you think we'll get? Grizz?
I'd want to avoid any of the English teams, Man United, Chelsea, and PSG.
Man City, Chelsea.
Yeah, I'd want to avoid Man City, Chelsea, PSG, anyone else.
Definitely avoid Man United.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Okay, you want Porter then?
Well, there's other options, right?
Yeah, but you'd, is Porter your standout one?
Yeah, Dortmund, Porto.
Okay,
either one.
Chris, who do you want? Who do you not want? Who do you think we'll get?
Porto or Atalanta if they get through is who I'd want. Who I don't want. I don't want Bayern or PSG.
Okay. Andy?
Yeah, it wouldn't be good. It wouldn't be a good time to play them. It just normally be saying it doesn't matter who we play. Liverpool could beat anyone. It's a month away. Hopefully we might have Henderson back by then. Hopefully we might have actually put a bit of form together and we can go into the game. So I just at this point in time, I'd rather play a weaker team, which at the moment is like, if, as you say, Chris, if Atlanta get through or Dortmund, Porto. Yeah, I prefer to avoid the PSGs at this stage, Bayern, fuck that. You know, there's a chance if we got all the way to the final, we might even have Van Dijk back.
City will get Porto, just to let you know.
We've had Porto too the last 3 years in the Champions League, though.
Yeah, yeah. Zeb Malik says VVD could be back for the semi finals. A lot of people feel that we'll get Chelsea. Ark Humer says Dortmund will be his best choice. Yeah, man, Haaland is a monster.
We've got a bother to Phillips. Phillips would kick him up and down the park.
We've got the Bolton Baresi, man. Come on.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't know who I want. People say avoid Man City, avoid look, you're just going to get who you get. You're going to have to play them at some stage. But over two legs, do you know what? Real Madrid's still in it. I'd have a go with them all day fucking long. All day long. I'd have a go with Real Madrid.
So that team's still in it, isn't it?
You know, so. Well, the eight left will be, what, ourselves, City, Dortmund, Chelsea, PSG.
Well, Chelsea one's only a goal, isn't it? So, and they've got no Mason Mount for the next round.
Yeah, but I think, still favour Chelsea, the way they're playing at the moment.
You would do, but I think losing Mount's a big one for them.
Yeah.
If Chelsea get, if Atletico Madrid get through, which is unlikely, I'd fancy taking them on this year. I'd definitely taking them on this year.
Suarez.
Oh, fuck you, Mandy.
Yeah.
And it's Atalanta or Real Madrid because they play each other, don't they? I think that's...
Yeah.
Is that quite tight? I can't remember.
Yeah, there's only Real Madrid only beat Atalanta 1-0, says Kevin Ball. So there you go. That's about it, I think. Apologies from Jamie. He messaged me just to say really sorry. He's gutted that his internet went down, but look, the roof was coming off the gaff. So listen, that shit happens. That's what happens when you do live YouTube shows. Tomorrow is some carnage, isn't it, Chris?
Oh yeah.
Some carnage tomorrow with Grizz from 10 o'clock. Friday with Chris is the Friday forecast. Sunday ourselves on the Fatback 4, and then we let you know what's going on Monday. Keep looking at that thing for Kane. In the description, you will see that Davo and his mates are running 300 kilometres each in March. They're absolutely off their rocker. They're 10 days in and they're mental. And they're just gathering people now. There's just random people running with them, which is brilliant. There's different faces in the pictures every day. But there's two links in the description there. One for the GoFundMe, one for the PayPal. The PayPal is absolutely flying. The GoFundMe is up around $83,000 now, which is phenomenal. So we will get this to 100 grand. If I have to get Davo to run in fucking April as well. But look, what the lads are doing is outstanding. You know, I'll put it this way. Davo has a brand new baby. I'd say he's up half the night trying to feed it. And then he's going out running 10K every day. He gets up early in the morning for work as well. So just him alone, I kind of look and go, fucking hell, mate. You know what I mean? That's unbelievable. But there's six or seven of them doing it. And they're just gathering other people coming with them as well. So it's absolutely brilliant what they're doing.
Fair play to Davo with the brand new baby, not a second hand one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen. It would be second hand now. It's a couple of weeks old. It's a brand new. When do you stop calling the baby brand new?
Oh, I never heard a baby being called brand new. It's a baby.
It's
isn't
a
it?
Brand new baby. Brand new.
Brand new. Straight out of the wrapper.
Yeah, 21-1. 2-1-1-D.
After six months, it's used then.
Yeah, but you see, the only thing you can hope for Davo is, you know, when the baby's like, 23 months old and you say, and someone says, how old's the baby? Instead of going, just nearly two, people go, 23 months, I fucking hate that. Just nearly a year or a year. Yeah. Oh, I hate it that the months and all does me fucking tits in. Anyway, I don't know how we got into that. But anyway, he has got a brand new baby. He's up early in the morning and he's still running that 10K. So look, the link is in the description. Go and help them out. What they're doing is phenomenal. To add to what we've already donated and what we will continue to work on until this 100K is hit. That's about it. I will let you know that I'm looking currently at a website for us. We had got a website, but it just pissed off on us. I don't know where it's gone. So we're trying to get that back. If anybody knows anything about websites, building them, editing them, and you want to help me out, give me a shout. It would be much, much, much appreciated. Grizz, thanks a million for dropping in and talking to us. I hope the cake was good. I know the result was. I hope you don't grow a toad ear due to the vaccine overnight. And it's been a pleasure as always.
No problem, man. Anytime.
Good stuff. Chris, will you be back on Friday? Thanks a million for joining us, my man.
No worries, mate. Thanks for having me. Yeah, look forward to Friday.
Yeah, it looks a good one. It looks a good one. Andy, calm down a little bit from Monday. You got very upset. You're very emotional. You are very aggressive, I must say.
I'm very loyal to my friends, and I didn't like what was happening with the invasion.
Okay. I can't believe people don't say a brand new baby. Can't believe that. That's mad.
That's a thing, Gav. That's a fingers thing. It is a fingers thing.
Ah, he's a brand because, new baby I think, at home. You know what I'm saying? Because maybe you just say new baby at home. I don't know.
Well, see, the thing was when you were growing up, everybody had babies on the road. Like there was just babies, babies, babies. So you had to differentiate. Yeah. Like you had to say, you know, the brand new babies. They were the ones that were born the last kind of 3 or 4 weeks, and then the rest of them were just had the babies that were a little bit. Not so quite brand new, so I think that's where it comes from. We just had babies, you know.
Yeah, Jonathan says brand new baby is just weird, is it?
As opposed to like a refurbished one, or you know, reconfigured,
that's a bit mad. Listen, if it's newborn baby. Yeah, Jonathan, listen, it probably was weird, Jonathan.
All babies are newborn, though.
Yeah, it's just a figure of speech. So there you go. Only Northsiders say that to go with a brand new cold support payment. You're some fucking edge you are. Listen, you know what? Now, it's funny, because I'm going to leave that up on the screen, right? Because I totally might have a go, so here's one for you. Well, I was talking to Neil the other night, and Andy was there. And so we're talking away, and Neil, this will bleed and put you back in your box now. So we're talking away anyway, and about United, wasn't it, Andy?
Yeah.
United, and we were saying about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and we were yapping away, and tell them what Neely said. Tell them what Veranda said.
So we were talking about, we'd been talking about who they were buying, and said, how did it fucking come up? I can't remember. We were talking about
Ed Woodward's. Ole is Ed Woodward's boy, like, you know.
And how these guys get these positions. And then Neil says, look, it's ridiculous. He was the rugby manager, wasn't he? And now he's in a football team, like, buying players. It makes no sense. And then there's just a pause for ages, and we went, no, you think that was Clive Woodward? And he was, oh, was it? So for all that time, like, he was watching
Ed Woodward doing this, going, why isn't that fella at Twickenham?
And he was like thinking, that's so bizarre. Like, one minute he's a rugby manager, and now he's like the United man for buying and selling players.
Yeah.
You know, he would have been double jobbing us actually at one stage.
Yeah. And then the top of all off, Neil just disappeared for 24 hours because he was just Googling people trying to say stuff more stupid than that and sending us videos to see if it rated more stupid than what the stuff he said, which is even better than the comment in the first place. But we're gone completely off topic. That's me talking about brand new babies. I'm sorry for saying that. I thought it was just something, you know, I don't know. It's clearly not. That's it. We're out of here. That has been the Midweek Fix with Jamie Holm for some of it, with Grizz for some of it, with me, with Andy, and with Chris. Enjoy the rest of your night, and we'll be back with you tomorrow with some carnage. Over and out.
I have PenFed, that's a fact.
I have PenFed, that's a fact.
My credit card purchases get me cash back.
My credit card purchases get me cash back.
No one else gets these rewards.
Sergeant, that is just plain untrue.
What in tarnation?
Sir, PenFed's PowerCash Rewards card isn't just for military members. Anyone can get cash back on all purchases.
Ah, figgins! You've ruined my favorite song.
PenFed Credit Union. Visit PenFed.org/PowerCash. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
Introducing Guinness Nitro Cold Brew Coffee Beer, blending the smooth, creamy nitro taste of Guinness with hints of coffee, chocolate, and caramel. Guinness Nitro Cold Brew Coffee Beer, your new favorite part of the day. Look for it where Guinness is sold. Must be 21 and over to purchase. Please enjoy responsibly. Diageo Beer Company, New York, New York.
Sports Social Podcast Network.